I'm Lizzie O'Leary, host of the Slate podcast, What Next TBD, in for Tanzina Vega, who's on maternity leave. This is The Takeaway. This week, a growing number of countries are starting to relax the measures they put in place to slow the spread of the novel coronavirus, even as the global number of confirmed cases surpasses 3 million. In Europe, children in Spain can now go outside after 6 weeks of lockdown restrictions, while in Italy, Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte unveiled his plan to reopen the economy next week. Here in the U.S., Texas is letting its stay-at-home order expire on Thursday. In Georgia and Tennessee, some restaurants have welcomed back dine-in customers for the first time in weeks. And in Washington, one of the country's early hotspots, the state government will reopen recreation areas to the public next week. Still, in some places, strict lockdown measures will remain in place for the foreseeable future, including in Puerto Rico, where the government is lagging behind the rest of the U.S. in testing for COVID-19.
Puerto Rico currently has the lowest per capita testing rate compared with any U.S. state. Less than 1% of the population has been tested.
That's Donica Cotto, a correspondent for the Associated Press covering the Caribbean, based in San Juan. There have been around 1,400 confirmed cases in Puerto Rico so far, with the few tests that have been administered, though some officials praised the island last month for its aggressive social distancing measures. Experts are now saying its testing capacity has likely skewed the reality of the outbreak. All the while, Puerto Rico is still grappling with the aftermath of some devastating financial and political turmoil over the last couple of years, including the island's bankruptcy and Hurricane Maria. The population of Puerto Rico is also older and poorer compared with elsewhere in the U.S., making it even more vulnerable should it reopen too soon. For more on this, we spoke with the AP's Donica Cotto, as well as Nicole Acevedo, a digital reporter for NBC News. And I asked Donica what the Puerto Rican government was doing now to ramp up its testing capacity.
The government recently has distributed about 100,000 testing kits to municipalities, in addition to more testing kits to the National Guard, performing those tests at the airport. Part of the concern is that there's about a $38 million contract that was scrapped several weeks ago, in which the government was going to buy about 1 million testing kits, and that was later discarded because, in part, the government said they weren't going to arrive on time. And then later on, amid ongoing testimony as part of an investigation into this contract, it turns out that the company that was going to supply these testing kits seems to have ties to the ruling party in Puerto Rico. So there's a lot of concern about this. And overall, critics say that time was lost. When they started this contract, they could have gotten testing kits elsewhere. And, as many other countries around the world, Puerto Rico is still trying to track down more testing kits.
Nicole, can you talk through kind of how local governments and different municipalities are responding to this, particularly when there's some confusion around sort of testing from the central government? And I guess what kinds of social distancing measures are, in place and what kind of effect they've been having?
Mayors in the towns across Puerto Rico have had to sort of figure out their own plan of action when at the central government level, not a lot of testing is being done or distributed to them. So many of them have created mini task force of their own with professionals that live right on their town. For instance, in the town of Ponce, they did that and they started their first drive-through testing site. And that's how they were starting to get some data. And whenever they had a positive case, they would try to do some contact tracing in order to be able to isolate people in communities and avoid spread.
Nicole, have they been effective, the mayors, in encouraging people to, follow social distancing?
The governor of Puerto Rico put out a curfew that was very strict right off the bat, unlike many other jurisdictions in the United States. And that seems to have been very effective in minimizing the spread and flattening the curve. We're getting reports from mayors and other local leaders that the hospitals in the island are actually not overwhelmed. So in the beginning, enforcing the curfew was a little bit iffy. I think people were having some sort of trouble adjusting to that new normality. But once the curfew that was already strict got even more strict, I think that's when people started to realize, oh, wow, this is actually very serious. And for the most part, it seems that people and crowds have been able to be controlled around communities in the island.
You know, Donica, to link those two things, if you're trying to encourage social distancing, but you don't have a full picture from testing of kind of how bad things are, has that limited the government's ability to say, hey, guys, you know, we really need to be locking things down right now?
Very much so. I mean, the government yesterday talked a little bit about a plan, a draft. Nothing has been approved yet, but it's a draft that calls for a gradual lifting of the lockdown. So this draft visualizes construction, manufacturing, and agronomy sort of reopening first, followed by, in a second phase, by government agencies, real estate industry, transportation. Then next to last would be restaurants, retail, trade, professional technical services. But, you know, the battle right now is health versus economy. And Puerto Rico is in the middle of a 13-year recession. It's still trying to recover from Hurricane Maria. It's still trying to recover from the string of recent strong earthquakes in late December and January that caused millions of dollars in damage. So before this hit, Puerto Rico was already in a very fragile economic state.
Yeah.
So right now, you know, there's people saying we need to reopen businesses. And part of the problem is that the lockdown, people would not reject the lockdown as much if they were receiving the money that was promised, both local and federal funds. But since those are still trickling in, there's sort of more pressure placed on the government on behalf of some businesses and some economists saying, look, we need to reopen something because otherwise, you know, we're going to have an unemployment rate of 37% in upcoming weeks.
I'm going to get to the government funding question in a second, but I want to get a sense of how the medical service universe looks right now. Nicole, you've done some reporting on this. How are hospitals doing right now? Are there enough physicians and medical staff to take care of people?
Even on a normal day in Puerto Rico, what the data shows is that whatever it's available in the island, it's not enough to serve the health needs of the population of the people in Puerto Rico. That's almost like a known thing in the island. Hmm. And that seems to be kind of the point of departure when making decisions about this pandemic, right? For instance, putting the lockdown in place so early and really trying to flatten that curve, really what ended up happening was that hospitals were empty, essentially. Like I was saying, we were having reports from many municipalities saying, our hospitals are not full with people, we're not getting anybody. And in some instances, some hospitals started to lay off people or cut down on staff. And what ended up happening was that a lot of those people were being recruited in places like New Jersey and New York that were seeing a spike in cases at the time. Puerto Rico doesn't know where they're at in the curve. So in the event that they're not at the peak of contagion in the island, and hospitals get more traffic and more people needing services, they might not actually have the staff or the equipment they need.
Donica, let's talk about the money here. This weekend, the mayor of San Juan, Carmen Julian Cruz, told MSNBC that no one on the island had gotten a $1,200 coronavirus stimulus check. What do we know about that?
That's correct. About nearly 500,000 people over the weekend began receiving notice of their eligibility for the $1,200 federal incentive. So part of the problem is it appears that the federal government still has to approve how that will be distributed. So Puerto Rico's government says it has submitted a plan for that. And it appears that the disagreement is the local government wants the U.S. to do a direct deposit, but the U.S. says Puerto Rico's Treasury Department should distribute it. So we're sort of in holding mode, waiting to see what the U.S. government, you know, will decide on how this $1,200 will be distributed. Meanwhile, they announced that this weekend, the $600 weekly for the unemployed via CARES Act will be available. And in addition, the $2.2 billion that will be available to Puerto Rico's government, that they have not decided how exactly they will use that yet. There's a federal control board that oversees Puerto Rico's finances.
Right.
And so they advised, you know,
from the bankruptcy.
Correct. And they recently advised over the weekend, they suggested that the government should invest in the health system, you know, like buy more protective equipment, prepare for a possible resurgence, do more contact tracing, boost the education system, help the unemployed and the shuttered businesses. So on the local side, the government has promised, you know, bonuses and incentives. So about more than 140,000 self-employed workers in Puerto Rico have sought a $500 incentive, and nearly all of them have received it. However, only half of the more than 200,000 people seeking unemployment assistance has received benefits. The Department of Labor, the one in Puerto Rico, has said, we're overwhelmed, we're working, you know, more hours, we're trying to help more people, as much people as possible, but right now we're a bit overwhelmed. So the money is coming in, but, you know, people are getting desperate. They were already, you know, most of them were already in dire economic straits before the coronavirus hit. So every day, you know, we see new messages saying, please help us, we haven't received this money.
I want to talk about kids on the island for a second. Nicole, you've done a lot of reporting on the education system, which was already dealing with significant school closures in the previous governor's administration. What are the big challenges right now facing families as they've tried to shift to remote learning, especially in parts of the island that are rural or underserved?
I mean, you're having, like many, many other places, that these kids and these school systems have to shift into remote learning very quickly, almost immediately. And when you don't have an infrastructure that can really take on that transition, a lot of kids will get lost in the middle. So in the rural areas, a lot of the kids there don't have access to internet or a computer. We're talking about at least 56%, according to the Puerto Rico Youth Institute. And that's a lot. That's more than half of your kids in the public school system. And on top of that, you have to add, you know, the other stressors that come with just being in the middle of the pandemic in Puerto Rico. A lot of these parents have lost jobs, have to close their small businesses. A lot of these kids will not have a full experience learning and having sort of a normal semester. That gets more complicated for kids that lived in the southern towns of Puerto Rico that have been affected by the earthquakes earlier this year. Mm-hmm. A lot of those kids have not stepped in a classroom since January because after the earthquakes, all the schools closed down and inspections were being done to make sure that their structures were safe.
Danica Cotto is a correspondent for the Associated Press covering the Caribbean, and Nicole Acevedo is a digital reporter for NBC News. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.